Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Happy Tuesday, January the 28th. We're coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada, where it's warming up, hovering around zero, and it's got a smile on everybody's face, including our guests in the bunker here, Robert Vanstone, Leader Post football columnist, author, esteemed writer and friend of ours. How you doing, RV?
Not bad, Roddy. How you doing?
Good. Happy New Year. Always good. Nice to be seen.
I must apologize in advance. Driving over here, I had the worst case of the hiccups. So who knows what horror may be
what's gonna come
unleashed
up?
Upon your audience.
I'm sure you'll be fine. Just glad to have you. And the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel with us. The Rempel Temple. Kelly Rempel with us, Moose Jaw Warriors and Regina Pats alum. Speaking of alum, we'll get back into the football talk. We're doing a lot of hockey on this Tuesday. Clark Gillies won a Memorial Cup with the Regina Pats in 1974. Four Stanley Cups with the New York Islanders, where he spent from 1974 to 1986. Clarkie is with us today from his office in New York. Mr. Gillies, how are you?
I'm great, Rod. How you doing?
Very well.
Nice
good.
And warm
good.
To- down here.
Yeah, what is it? What is it down there?
I think it's about 45 degrees. It's been like summer here all winter, but we're having a nice spell and no snow in sight, so that's a good thing.
Well, I know that it does get cold down there, so I'm sure you're enjoying the warmth while you can. Clark, it's been far too long. I'll ask you this. Are you still keeping up with the Islanders as much as you're? Because when they moved to Brooklyn, you were kind of... You know, you didn't get to every game, but now that they're back, how much are you sticking with your old club and following them?
Well, I must say I watch just about every game they play. I've been to the Coliseum. I've been to the Barclays Center a couple times this year, and to the Coliseum about 10 times. So I've seen quite a bit of them this year. It's kind of fun to go back to the old building. It's a little more convenient. I can drive there in about 25 minutes as opposed to an hour and 10-minute train ride, but I'm enjoying the team. They're playing pretty well. They had a tough streak there before Christmas. They played seven games in 11 nights, which is a pretty tough grind. And they've got a nice rest here. They're off for about 10 days, and hopefully they'll come back loaded for bear and ready to go.
Tons of comments coming in from our viewers. These guys will have some. But a guy just asked me the other day about Jordan Eberle. They said he's having a quiet year with the Islanders. And I said, well, Ebs, he'll always be fine. But what's your assessment of the Regina kids' play this year?
He's played very well. He got off to a bit of a slow start. I've got my homework in front of me. I see he's got seven goals at this point. But he got off to a pretty slow start. I like him. I think he's a great addition, a great player for this hockey team. Ever since he came over from Edmonton, he's got great hands and works well with Barzal. And they've moved them around a little bit. They kind of mixed up the lines from time to time. But Jordan's played very, very well, and it's nice to see him on our team.
Clark, I've heard several times you tell the story about as many Stanley Cups as you've won. I've heard you tell the story about having won a Memorial Cup and asking your teammates how many of them have actually won one, given the short window you have to win it and the amount of teams you're competing with across the country. How did that story go?
Well, it was kind of like when the guys must be busting your chops in the locker room. You know, did you ever win anything before? Did you ever do this? Did you ever do that? And I said, hold on a second. I said, did any of you guys here ever win a Memorial Cup? And it shuts up most of the guys. And it's a pretty prestigious trophy, as you just mentioned. You've got a short window. Usually a junior team will build a team for that third year, and they take a shot at the Memorial Cup and then rebuild again for another 3 years. We had a pretty good hockey team. We went to the Western Final my rookie year with 13 rookies, with guys like Denis Sobchuk and Greg Jolly and Mike Wanchuk. We had a pretty good hockey team, almost made it to the Western Final and then on to the Memorial Cup, and then we we got our ass kicked a little bit by Flin Flon the next year, and got a bit of a wake-up call. And then the final year most of us were together for the full 3 years. We went on to win the Memorial Cup in Calgary. It was a great experience, and I would rate that right up there with winning the Stanley Cup. It's the ultimate in junior hockey, and I'm very proud to call myself a Memorial Cup champion for sure.
You know, Clark, in sports in general, very rarely, you know, the New England Patriots might be the exception, but you really don't see dynasties anymore, especially in a salary cap era. You definitely don't see it, you know, in the National Hockey League. And there's always that debate. Was it better back in the day when a Montreal Canadiens or a New York Islanders or a Edmonton Oilers team would win 3 or 4 years in a row, and you'd have those dynasties where they almost became like the enemy because they were so good? Is it better that way, or is it better when literally you hit a reboot every year and you've got 10 teams that could win it? Do you have an opinion on that, having been on a dynasty team? Like, what do you think is better for the game?
Well, I'd be crazy if I told you it wasn't fun winning 4 years in a row.
Fair enough. Maybe the wrong guy to ask.
Yeah, and losing in the finals in the fifth year, but it does. There's a lot of parity in the league right now, and a lot of it has been created by free agency. You know, a team will go on and win the Stanley Cup, and there's usually two or three guys on that team that are in some sort of free agent situation, and they get plucked off pretty quickly. So it's tough to keep your team together. Back in the days of the Montreal Canadiens and us and Edmonton, for that matter, you weren't going anywhere. You had a chance to win the Stanley Cup. You were staying. And free agency was a little bit different, of course, but loyalty to your team was important back then, and certainly winning was everything. I'm not even sure. Bill Torrey used to keep a lot of things pretty quiet back in those days. I'm not even sure if somebody was offering me a lot more money or not, or my agent, whatever. But, I usually signed a five-year contract, and I was loyal to the Islanders and kept my word and played whatever the length of the contract was. So, but again, you know, when you're winning, you're not in a big hurry to go anywhere else. But as I said, it's different now. The players get thrown a lot of money at them, and it's tough to say no.
Clark Gillies with us today. Johnny Yatridis writes in from Moose Jaw from the Mad Greek. He says, Moose Jaw royalty right here on the show. So Moose Jaw claiming him along with Pats and Islanders royalty. And I'll get to these other questions, Clark, but the last time I was with you guys, Brian Trotche was jumping up and down. He was so mad about that fifth straight finals. He says the NHL screwed the Islanders because they didn't want him winning a fifth straight Stanley Cup and beating the Habs record. Is Brian over it finally, or do we got to get him into counseling? Because it seems like this is something that keeps him up at night.
By the way, I'm not over it either. So you want to get me really riled up, bring that up. And it's something that happened, and I've never really got an explanation. They switched the format, which had been the same way for 100 years. You know, two games at home, two games away, 1-1-1. And all of a sudden, before the final started in 1984, we're going to change it. We're going to do two games, three games, two games. And we were like, what? I mean, that didn't make any sense to us. And then they kept it. I looked it up because I wanted to make sure I had this right, because I talk about it all the time. They kept it that way the following year and then switched it back 2 years later. And since then, it's been 2-2-1-1-1. So if you tell me there wasn't something going on to make sure that the Montreal Canadiens were the only team that won five in a row, I'd beg to argue that point. So I haven't gotten over it. Trotch hasn't gotten over it. And I don't think any guy in our hockey team will ever get over it, thinking that somebody tried to pull a fast one on us. And it works. Unfortunately, it works.
Sorry to pick at a scab, Clark. It's only been 35 years.
I still bleed pretty heavy when you pick that scab, too.
Clearly.
Well,
Go ahead, Kelly.
I saw a video of you and Brian Trotche singing Kenny Rogers, The Gambler, from a couple of years ago. I had no idea that he could play the guitar, and I had no idea how good a singer you were. So I'm thinking that when you guys get in these moments of frustration and you feel like you're ready to, you know, punch somebody in the face, you guys should just FaceTime each other and get the guitar out and sing Kenny Rogers. That might help.
We do that. We do that a lot. We've got a whole repertoire now. I mean, Kenny Rogers, it's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we're going to be in, by the way, a little shameless plug here. We're going to be in Delisle, Saskatchewan. I think it's August 13th. So if you want to hear our full routine, you can come up to Delisle and see that.
But, you know, it's funny.
Yeah, Trotch and I have a lot of fun with that. We travel around. Everywhere. We happen to be going to Mario Lemieux's Fantasy Camp in Pittsburgh this week. And while we're there, we do a little entertainment. Theron Fleury will be there. He'll be singing along with us. And we've got five or six songs now that we do. We're just not a one-hit pony here. You know?
One-hit wonders, yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing about that Delisle dinner. I'm telling all hockey teams, you want to do a sports dinner, do it in August. Because I was there last year. It's full of farmers. They're not in the field yet. It was Theo, Dennis Hull, and George LaRocque, and it was hilarious. It was bursting at the seams. Who thinks of doing a hockey banquet in the summer? But it works. Gordy Archibald's watching in Nuevo Vallarta, Mexico, Clark, and he says, can you ask Clark how good an NHLer Dennis Sobchak would have been had he not signed in the WHA?
That's a great question. I've said that Denny made a bit of a quick decision going to the WHA. He got down there. I had a great time. It was similar playing with Dennis and Mike Wanchuk was similar to playing with Brian Trotsche and Mike Bossy. My role was to kind of go out there and keep people away from Dennis and keep people away from Mike. And Dennis kind of got, you know, taken up by all the money that the WHA offered him. And I think he got beat up a little bit when he went there. Had he gone to the right situation in the National Hockey League, had someone like me or to skate around with him and kind of keep him out of trouble, I think he would have lasted longer. He was the top junior hockey player in Western Canada, or in Canada for that matter, when we won the Memorial Cup in 74. And he should have had a long, illustrious career in the National Hockey League. And I think had he chosen that road, he would have certainly done that. Yeah, it's disappointing because he was a tremendous talent.
Well, they're saying between him and Bobby Orr, the two best juniors ever. You know, and probably you can't find the right answer for that, but it's pretty good company. Conan in Calgary says, can you ask Clark if he ever considered signing with the Oilers when he was drafted in the WHA draft?
No, not really. You know, when I was drafted by both the Islanders and the Oilers, you know, you kind of think, well, let's see what the agent can do. Maybe they can play them both, you know, play them back and forth and see, you know, where we can get the most money from. But deep down, I was always anxious to go to the National Hockey League, and the Islanders represented a great opportunity for me. You know, there was new franchise. They were keeping all their first round draft picks, as you know, Billy Harris was first, Dennis Poffin was second, and I was the third first pick. And so it created a great opportunity, as they said, for me to step right into the National Hockey League. And it was something that I had always dreamed about, playing in the NHL. So Edmonton, I gave it a thought, but not a serious thought. And then the Islanders came back money wise and offered me a lot more than Edmonton did anyway. So it made the choice pretty simple.
How often did you and Brian Trotsche talk about that 1974 playoff series, as eventful as it was? Tiger Williams in the stands, coming back from a 5-1 deficit after two periods. What a series that was.
We talk about it a lot. To be honest with you, the thing that we talk about the most is when we were playing in Swift Current, and Brian Trotsche and Brian Back, two similar-sized fellas, hit me, the two of them, at the same time. And as I was getting up off the ice fairly groggy, I told Trotz, I said, if I ever catch you, I'm going to kill you, you little bastard. And we talk about that more often. But Speaking of that series, Tiger, to this day, he still blames me for him getting in so much trouble. And I said, why are you blaming me? He said, well, you should have stopped me from going up in the stands waving my hockey stick. Well, how was I going to do that? You know, you were already up there by the time I got there. So, yeah, we go back and reminisce about our junior days and playing against each other. And it's all in good fun. And we have fun with that.
One last one is our producer, Clark, named after you, and he said that he had mentioned to you that he had met you in the bar. He was the bartender at the Hotel Saskatchewan, and Clark said, I'm sorry?
I said, Clark, I said, that could cover a lot of different guys. I've been in a few bars myself.
So I met a lot of bartenders.
I didn't want him to feel too bad. I said, you're one of about 15,000 bartenders I've met in the last 25 years. So.
Exactly. How does it feel? Do you know of any other kids named after you, Clark? That's got to be a nice tribute.
Not really, no. I have a good friend that I grew up with in Moose, a fellow by the name of Clark Compton. He's up at Edmonton now. Clark spent a lot of time with us. He's Clark with an E, and I'm Clark without an E. So that's how we, you know, differentiate ourselves from each other. But no, I don't know of too many kids that are named after me.
Yep. Well, for sure, it's an
honor. Other than Clark the bartender, you know.
Clark the bartender, Clark producer. Compton. I think Clark Compton's selling cars in Wetaskiwin is what I think he's doing. I still hear from him from time to time. So, Clark, I'm so happy to hear that you're going to be up in this area. I was going to say you're overdue for a visit, so we'll see you in Delisle. And anything else before we let you go?
No, just thanks for having me on, Rod. It's always nice to be talking to folks from back home. I played in Regina, but you are right. I am from Moose Jaw through and through. So I want to say hi to everybody there, and we'll see you in the summer when we're home.
Sounds good, Clark. Thank you.
Thanks, Rod.
Clark Gillies from his office in New York. And RV, that's kind of any time to talk with him specifically is a treasure.
It really is. It really takes me back. My dad was the organist for the Pats from the 3 years that Clark Gillies played for the Pats. My dad did.
Your dad played for the Pats?
Yes. So I watched every one of those games from a folding chair in the little green organ booth. And he mentioned the Sobchuk, Wanchuk, Gillies line. It was just an amazing thing to see. And you know, you look at it, those players were virtually as good at 18 as they at 17 as they were at 19. Just 3 years with that same nucleus, something you don't really see that much anymore. And usually teams are dominated. It's a 19 year old dominated league now, but what those guys did in their first full Western Hockey League season 71-72 was amazing. And they just, that was 3 years that just that I treasure. And hard to believe that's pushing 50 years now.
We're going to come back with some football talk after this break with RV and the Silver Fox. Got a sports update coming up, and also Joaquin Gage, Oilers alum, Raiders, and as I mentioned, Swift Current Broncos, although the Broncos wrote into the show and said he was only here for a week. Yeah?
And?
So? I remember. It's a steel trap up here. So we'll be back. It's episode 163. Yeah, here we go. Monty in Saskatoon says Matt Nichols released by Winnipeg. We'll talk about that and more when we return. It is episode 165 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show, The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members. Plus, members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2000. 2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Tuesday morning sports update. For the curling fans, of which we would include ourselves, that semifinal of the Provincial Scotties going on out in Melville, they're in the seventh end, RV, tied 3-3. Sherry Anderson and Ashley Howard. The winner will meet Robin Silvernagle in the final this afternoon. So you can watch on curlsass.ca. That's where I logged into right here. The Raptors will try and extend their win streak to 8 games tonight when they host the struggling Atlanta Hawks at Scotiabank Arena. Atlanta coming off a victory Sunday, but still sits dead last in the East with a 12-35 record. Meanwhile, the NBA has postponed tonight's Lakers-Clippers game in L.A. after the deaths of superstar Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and 7 others in that crash on Sunday. The NBA says the game against the Clippers will be rescheduled later. Leafs forward Kasperi Kapanen left last night's 5-2 win over the Predators in Nashville with an arm injury. Didn't return. The team says the x-ray has come back negative after his arm collided with the glass. And the well-rested Flames hope to take advantage of a tired squad when they welcome the St. Louis Blues tonight for their first game since the All-Star break. The Flames are trying to keep pace with the Canucks in the Pacific. Last night, first place Vancouver beat the Blues 3-1 for a 3-point lead on Calgary. The sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and tickets. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RPSHOW fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. And for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon at the corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive, it is Taco Tuesday, guys. That's the featured item. See you at Wendell's. To the Prairie Mobile text line regarding the news out of the CFL this morning, the Riders will be holding their 2020 training camp in Regina, not Saskatoon, from what we're hearing because of renos at Griffith Stadium. Brady in Saskatoon writes in, says, hey Rod, it's Brady. It's sad to hear the Riders training camp won't be held in Saskatoon, but I'm happy the Riders have decided to still have Green and White Day in Saskatoon. I will always look forward to that day. There are, you know, some saying, why don't they move it to SMF Field? Why don't they do it here? I don't know. That's the reason I've been told. RV, is it a... You can see why Saskatoon people would be disappointed. Clearly.
Yeah, you know, they've had a good run of training camps up there. I mean, this will be a one-year blip in all likelihood, and then they're back up there next year. It'll be kind of cool to see the Rough Riders from day one here in Regina this year. So, I mean, they're more accessible to fans in a different region of the province now for training camp. And so I don't think a one-year interruption is something for people to get up in arms over.
No, but you can see where it's coming from. Right. Prairie Mobile text line, write us 840-8777. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Chris Cooper, watching in Southern Ontario, says Nick Arbuckle not signing in Ottawa after his visit there means he's going to free agency and the Argos. That means Ottawa will roll out the red carpet for Matt Nichols. He'll be a good fit with LaPolice. I certainly follow that line of reasoning, but I also am not jumping to any conclusions. Bobby Dice was here on Friday and said that they'd had Arbuckle through the facility, toured him around. You see what Cooper's saying. Nick still didn't sign. What do you read into that, RV?
Well, considering that they made the big play for Nick Arbuckle trading for him, considering that the free agency period is still a few weeks away, there's still time to do it. Why sign now if you're Nick Arbuckle as opposed to closer to the deadline? You have a little more leverage as February 11th looms in that free agency window preceding it. So I'm not sure you can write off Nick Arbuckle to Ottawa just yet. If that doesn't happen, we'll sure find out what Paul Lapolis thinks of Matt Nichols. And there were so many divergent opinions in Winnipeg about Matt Nichols. Some fans, some observers thought he was the best guy for the job, but there were also a lot of detractors there. So we'll get a pretty good read pretty quickly on whether Paul Lapolis thinks Matt Nichols is the guy if they don't end up signing Nick Arbuckle, because that's clearly the next best option.
How do you see this playing out, Rems?
Well, who knows? But I agree with Rob. I mean, we've seen it in the CFL. We've seen it in the NFL. Just because you leave a stadium or you leave a facility with a team and you don't sign, that doesn't mean that you automatically won't. If they make you a deal that blows your socks off, yeah, we've seen that. You know, sometimes they, the Vikings, thinking over the years, they've made some signings where they get a guy there, they show him the facility, they make him an offer he can't refuse, they don't want him to get away, probably sweeten the deal if you sign today sort of thing, and they close the deal. But that doesn't always work out that way. So I agree. I don't think that this automatically means that there's no chance that he's going to end up back there. But I'm, without being closer to it, who really knows? You know, my gut feeling says Toronto, but I don't disagree with Rob either. I mean, if you think about it, you've got more leverage the longer that you wait until you go to the deadline. What's to say that they don't sweeten the pot? They've
For
got
sure.
weeks to do it. So there's no rush.
And I would suggest this is Chris's bold prediction, his BLP, bold Lynch prediction of how it's going to play out. Because who knows? Have as big a man crush on Cody Fajardo as I do. At the very least, as Rider fans, supporters, observers, we can kind of sit back and not have to worry about the quarterback position because it's locked up for the foreseeable future here.
Yeah, and that's a nice position to be in, especially when you consider the flux that the quarterbacking position had been in, I guess dating back to the Banjo Bowl in Winnipeg in 2014. There were the back-to-back injuries to Darien. Kevin Glenn takes over from Darien in 2015, gets hurt. Brett Smith, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And every year, going into the offseason, it seemed there were questions about the quarterbacking, be it who is the quarterback going to be or is Darien going to be healthy. And to be going into the offseason with a starting quarterback about whom there are no questions, they really haven't had that luxury, I think, since the offseason, since after winning the Grey Cup in 2013 going into 2014. It's been a while. And I don't think they have a lot of questions as far as who number two is going to be either. They're really in a good position quarterbacking wise. And that being as crucial as it is to a team's fortunes in the Canadian Football League. And I just wonder where the ceiling is for Cody Fajardo. I mean, year one as a starter, he's named the most outstanding player in the West Division. And now having a full offseason as the guy, like, you really wonder what kind of... I think we've only scratched the surface as far as what a sensation he can be here.
You know, you said something made me laugh when you said about the man crush that you guys have on Cody. I don't know, unless there's one staring me right in the face and I'm just not thinking of it, I don't ever remember a quarterback in this market loving anybody like they love
Glenn Dobbs.
Glenn Dobbs.
Okay, how far back?
1951. Guess where I got that from? John Lynch.
But, you know, yeah. If you think about it, like, let's go.
In our lifetime, there's been nothing like this.
I mean, no, because they've loved maybe Weston Dressler. They've loved Bobby Jurison, non-quarterback types. But as far as a quarterback, Ron Lancaster had people that booed him. They didn't like him. Kent Austin, lots of fans.
They haven't had a reason to boo Cody yet.
That's true. You're right. The sample size isn't big enough at this point. But I'm just saying I've never seen anything like it. They absolutely love this guy. I mean, what's not to like? You're right. Maybe when he'll have that game where he goes, maybe throws three picks and they end up once for a pick six and they lose and then he struggles for a couple weeks and then maybe people will turn on him a little bit. But Rob, can you think of any quarterback? I mean, definitely not Durant, definitely not Austin. I mean, can you think of any that would even compare to this euphoria for this guy?
Henry Burris in 2000.
True.
Good year for Rod. Very memorable season. I think
to this extent,
if Henry had stayed for a prolonged period, I wonder what the possibility.
The world was his oyster.
He would have owned this city. And his first year when he comes in after a 3-win season when the offense is horrible and Henry comes in and throws 30 touchdown passes and everybody loves him. And it seemed to camouflage the fact that team only won 5 games that year. That's sort of one of the what might have been stories in Rider history.
We'll pause the football discussion for a moment because we're going out on video chat to the City of Champions, Edmonton. Joaquin Gage joins us, newest broadcaster, but people will know his name from his years in the Western Hockey League and his 23 games with the Edmonton Oilers. It's been a very long time since I've had the opportunity to chat with this gentleman. Gager, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Rod. Thanks for having me on.
Well, when Clark told me he had you lined up, I was pretty excited. Do you remember way, way back in 93, 94 when you spent 53 years with the Prince Albert Raiders and I was just a year older than you and I was the voice of the team?
I actually do. It was kind of a culture shock going from PA to PA. I was in Portland before, so it was kind of a bigger city, but I was no stranger to the 306. I did go to Athol Murray College in Notre Dame for 3 years, so Prairie winters were quite familiar to me.
Well, and again, I'll tell you, people out here will know your name. You mentioned going to Notre Dame, played in the Chilliwack Chiefs, Billingham Icehawks, went to the WHL final with Portland, and then in PA, and then all over pro hockey. But for those that have kind of, yeah, sorry to say, sponsored by Samsonite. What's the update in your life now, Gager?
Well, trying to find new professions after hockey is a challenge for most hockey players, I think, after they stop playing. I was able to play in Europe for 10 years. So it's funny, I look at my life and it's kind of like I lived it in reverse a little bit. I kind of had the retirement life of traveling around Europe before I had to actually start my real life. But right now, basically, I've started a new career. With Freedom 55 Financial, helping people with their risk tolerance and matching them to their investment portfolios. So to get all technical with you.
Yeah, no problem. Well, I'll tell you what, all I know about the financial planning guys is they don't seem very busy and they make a lot of money. So if that's what you have to look forward to, good for you, Gager.
Well, it's going in reverse for me right now, but hopefully it'll pick up in the next little bit.
Well, stuff like this can't hurt. And by the way, Robin in Prince Albert's watching. He says, Raider alumni Gage, one of the greatest goalie names ever, Joaquin Gage. And maybe that's why people remind you, but you were a pretty good goalie too. But Gage, you are doing a podcast now with our friend Dustin Nielsen. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I was actually shocked. I guess I was the last call for Dusty to find a sidekick for the show. It's great. Dusty, you know, he's Mr. Davos out here now with the Spengler Cup coverage. I'm just along for the ride with this thing. It's a lot of fun. I think my biggest fan is my mother though, because she does live out on Salt Spring Island. I grew up on the coast, so at least she gets to see me at least twice a week.
Well, Gage, you're just talking hockey and sports is probably a lot of fun for you. And I mean, you're in Edmonton, so last hour we had Jermaine Franklin talking about the Flames side of tomorrow night's game. Battle of Alberta, all the buildup. What's the Edmonton side of Cassie and Tkachuk for tomorrow night at Rogers Place?
Well, it's been an amazing week and a half since this All-Star break. Just the amount of emotions going through. I think for the most part, I think it leans towards more Cassian. I don't think they're going to fight, right? I don't want to see them fight. I would rather see Cassian kind of maybe to be a little bit more of aggressor, always clean, but I would target other guys. Make sure you're finishing every check. The building's going to be ridiculous tomorrow. I'm trying to see if I can get in there somehow and watch that game tomorrow, but it's exciting. The Battle of Alberta is definitely back. And I just can't wait to see what happens. I don't want Cassian and Tkachuk to kind of settle it, and I don't want things to die. I want this thing to last because they do play them again really quickly. So, and the points are so important in the Pacific. I really think you can see how crazy the Pacific is with the teams just one game, you can go from fifth place to first place, and it's going to be an exciting couple months here going down the stretch.
Arvi, you jump in any time, but Gager, I mean, I was 17 years in the Western League, and hockey hasn't changed a ton. It just seemed that in that big build-up game, there never seemed to be anything. Is that what you're basing this off of? Because I am. I don't expect anything either. And the fact that George Parros has to come into the game, I find embarrassing. These are grown men. You're not 12. I know how important that race is in the Pacific. I mean, if Calgary is up here and Edmonton was down here, maybe I'd see something. But this is far too important of a game and too late in the season for something to break out.
Yeah, way too important. They know that. They're professionals. I'm sure Cassian knows that too. If he does get a chance to blow someone up, I think he's going to take that shot. But I think he'll stay within the rule books. It's just those 4-point games everyone talks about when you especially in your own division, you can't sink behind too quick, because this isn't a real important stretch for the Oilers, coming off a week off. Having three quick games like this, they really need these points. I like the way they're playing, though. They went in on a hot streak. Mike Smith has seemed to have found his game, and they look good. We have Benning coming back, so I really like the Oilers' chance going down the stretch. It's really going to be exciting.
We're sort of in the, I mean, it's such a logjam as far as the standings go, yet we're in the dog days of the regular season. It's much of it is elapsed, yet there's so much yet to go. How nice is it to have a game with this much buildup when we're talking late January? It's not even anywhere close to the playoffs yet.
Well, in Edmonton, we haven't really had a chance to get excited for these types of games at this time of year. So the city's a buzz. It's all the sports radio shows and on TV are talking about right now is this next game. So it's an exciting time to be an Oilers fan again. We did have some struggles in the month of December there for a little bit, but it's just as a player, I always found this time of year a little bit tougher. There were so many more games left to play. And you just every game meant so much. So the Oilers have put themselves in a great position. They're in the hunt. Usually at this time, they're outside looking in. So they're right in the mix of things. And we're just going to see what happens.
Gage, your last one for you. Who is the most famous NHLer that scored on you?
Oh, God, there were so many. How much time do we have? I don't know. I've had this question asked before. Peter Forsberg scored on me, but I think just as a kid growing up, I was a big fan of Dino Cicerelli, and I actually played against. I got into a game against the Wings way back when, and it was actually my first. My dad took me to my first NHL game, and that was to see the Red Wings. So it was an unbelievable feeling actually playing against them. But not so great being scored on. But I remember when Dino tipped one home on me, and I was like, oh, I felt bad. But then I looked up and I go, well, it's Dino Cicerelli.
Minnesota North Stars, great. Well, I'll end with this. I was up speaking at a banquet in Shelbrooke, Saskatchewan. That's north of PA, Joaquin, a couple of years ago. And the one question came from the crowd, said, who was playing on the Raiders when you were doing the games? And I said, oh, Shane Toporowski, Dennis Peterson, Shane Knighty, Steve Kelly, Joaquin Gage. And that was a long time ago, Gage. Like, they didn't even remember.
It was a long time ago. Those were great guys too. Like, I remember I played against Dennis in Germany. He had a great career in Berlin. Topper, I didn't see too much of. Stevie, once in a while, just being an Oilers alum, he's a police officer down in Calgary, so I get to see him and a bunch. And it's just like it picks up right where we left off as teenagers playing together. So people might not remember him, but I sure do. They were great guys, and I was lucky enough to have them teammates.
Outstanding. And Gager, you're always always a first-class guy, mature kid. I appreciate this. We're following closely what you're doing. Keep it up and enjoy the game tomorrow night.
All right. Thanks, Rod.
Joaquin Gage from Edmonton, podcaster along with Dustin Nielsen. Now, what is it, Clark? Two guys and a goalie? Is that what they call it? Two guys and a goalie. Check it out. Matt Cassian's on the podcast as well. You might have heard of him. One more here on the Prairie Mobile text line before we break and jump back into the football, because people are writing in lots of comments on Matt Nichols being released by the Bombers this morning. But one of our sponsors writing in today, Ian from Sask Snow Beef, writes on the Prairie Mobile text line, "Morning, boys. En route to local and fresh with more cuts of Sask Snow Beef. It's catching on. People can taste the Wagyu difference. Superior marbling, RV, and flavor. Wagyu beef. I suggest you check it out." He says, "The Connor Zeri suspension was perfect. Don't throw the book at a star in the league for driving hard to the net. We need more of that. Rempel should be ecstatic. He's been asking for some old school hockey for a long time." Oh, yeah, because he's a star. Let's not nail him to the wall. But if it was a goon, throw the book at him. I can't go along with that. I'm sorry. But thanks for sponsoring the show, Ian. We'll be back with more football talk. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Okay, we're back on the program, everybody. Thanks for joining us. A couple more segments left. Darren DuPont has slid into the bunker here, joining RV from the Leader Post, of course. And big news in the CFL today, if I may. Breaking news. Why not? The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, 24 hours after signing Zach Collaros, have officially released Matt Nichols. So he's out on the market. And that's our poll question today. I should update that for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Where will Matt Nichols sign? And the options are Ottawa, Toronto, Winnipeg, or other. And as you see on the Facebook, if you're watching on Facebook this morning, 57% of you say Toronto. That leads. On Twitter, 51% of you say Toronto. That leads. Second place is Ottawa. And in the time that we have with Rob Vanstone here, let's milk it. We're going to go on the air extended time, February 11th, free agent frenzy in the CFL. And RV, I actually think we'll have something to talk about in free agency this year.
That should be, well, it's always an epic day. It's you wonder how the free agency window is going to affect things this year and how many deals might be announced 3 minutes after the deadline of February 11th, because teams will have a chance to really do their to make some inroads as far as negotiations.
They'll Hervey it.
So, yeah.
Hervey hard.
It was Odell Willis. But it's so crucial to what every team does now with the prevalence of one-year contracts. You have pretty much, you're building such a considerable portion of your team in February. And if you have a bad day, bad couple of days to begin free agency, you are really reliant upon finding some gems leading into training camp and coming out of training camp. You look at the success Jeremy O'Day had last year, free agency wise, and how pivotal many of those signings were in the success that the Rough Riders had. And some of them were later signings, like Solomon Olamimian, for example, but he made some really good moves free agency wise, a lot more good than bad. And I don't think it's accidental that they finished first after making those moves.
Really good signing by Jeremy O'Day there. And by the way, Nelson Hakowicz writes in, he says, extended show on CFL free agent day? Absolutely. And I'll get Darren to talk about that in a moment. But with Olamimian, he didn't make any of our lists for the top 10 free agents, but he was Justin Dunk's one of his top guys when we talked about this yesterday. That was a really good signing by the Saskatchewan Roughriders last year. Went on to lead the team in tackles, and he didn't make an appearance till week 4 or 5, you know? And I guess he's not that old.
No, he was 34 in October, and he hasn't been talked about a ton, but I think it's pretty important for the Rough Riders to get him back. He showed that he has a lot of tread left on the tires, and they've already lost Derek Moncrief from their linebacking core, middle linebacker being so important. You hope that they do get Solomon Olamimian back, and that it isn't a repeat of the Baron Simpson situation, where this Rider signed Baron Simpson in 2010, past 30, and he had a really good year, and they got to the Grey Cup. 2011 wasn't
fell
quite
the
same player, yeah. And the team really struggled. But I think Solomon Olamimian, it's pretty safe to bet on him.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, he's one of those guys who, especially if you're not going to get Cameron Judge back, you're hoping that
that
you do. Derek Moncrief's already gone. I think it's that much more important that you sign Solomon Olamimian. Have a veteran back there. You're going to have young guys that'll replace him. We always find linebackers that nobody's ever heard of become household names pretty quickly, but yeah, I'd like to see him back.
Update from the Provincial Scotties semifinal. It's now Ashley Howard leading Sherry Anderson 5-3. They're playing the eighth end. The winner will meet Robin Silvernagle in the final this afternoon at Horizon Credit Union Center in Melville. Again, Ashley Howard leading Sherry Anderson 5-3, playing the eighth end. Wayne is watching in Victoria, BC. He says, does anyone have an inside track on who the D-line coach for the Riders will be? No. Nelson, regarding the extended show on CFL Free Agent Day, what are the plans for that, Darren? Have we nailed anything down?
Oh, it's going to be exciting. What we can tell you right now as we continue to put plans together, it's going to be, you know, what you expect every morning. But free agency opens at 11 a.m. Saskatchewan time.
Perfect for us.
So right in the middle of our show, which is perfect. So, of course, we'll be here with all the analysts and guests that we always usually have breaking down the signings. But then we're going to go extended time, and we're going to go across the league examining all the different needs and results and analysis from every market in the CFL. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know, you know, what's going to happen. I think the Riders are outsiders in a lot of ways, Rob, and maybe that's where we'll leave it with you. Like, you know this town, Safeway to Walmart to Co-op gas bars. People are saying, what are the Riders going to do in free agency? What do they need to do in free agency? I'm like, they are the number one team coming back at 13-5 in the division. Jeremy doesn't need to be that busy, does he?
Well, I think the priority has got to be getting his own guys back.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
You know, there's Shaq Evans. That one is pivotal, considering the kind of year he had. If they can, and you're not going to get everybody, but if they can get a decent percentage of their own guys back, that's pretty key to their success, because they've built a pretty good nucleus here, and they've had some good signings leading or some good re-signings leading up to the free agency period, getting Dan Clark re-signed, signing AC Leonard, who had such a monster game in the playoffs, and a good year overall. So I think they're in as decent a shape as a team can be, considering that so many players are on one-year contracts.
Last point. Quite a few comments coming in here. Sean in Saskatoon says, hopefully it's better than the trade deadline show. Did we do a trade deadline show?
We did not.
No, we didn't. We didn't do one. Because there were no trades. Sean goes on to write in all caps, need to get Hughes! Why are you shouting?
He's already signed.
Yeah, what do you know about that? Because he was on one free agent list that Three Down Nation put out, but then he wasn't on the next CFL free agent tracker. So you're of the belief that he signed.
Yeah.
As am I.
Our man Murray McCormick checked into it after the season, and apparently during the year last year, the Rough Riders dealt with the Charleston Hughes contract, and he's under contract for 2020.
So. Perfect. Well, so just my thoughts on this. Well, actually, I want your thoughts on the CFL right now. Those dates came out yesterday, if you saw them. Global Combine here, Global Combine there, Global Draft on this day, CFL Draft on another. There was no Mark CFL week there at all. How do you feel about that? Doesn't look like there will be one. Like, is there a lack of information coming out, or are they just not doing it this year?
I would presume the latter, having not inquired directly, but that's a shame. That was a really good event, and it got a lot of publicity at a time that's it's a pretty dead time as far as the news cycle goes, and it got people excited about the league, and I don't think it's still a gate-driven league, and you've still got to entice people to buy tickets by and large. They've got a nice TV contract, but it doesn't pay all the bills to the extent that the NFL's TV contract does. Any chance you get to hype up your league, you should take advantage of it. And that to me seemed like a natural. And I don't know the reasoning behind it, but it's unfortunate it hasn't continued, because it was a really good, one of the really good concepts to come out of the Jeffrey Orridge era. There were a lot of success stories there, but that was one of them.
That was what was ticking in the back of my mind here. Is maybe because it was from the Jeffrey Orridge regime, they don't want to continue it. Cities, teams were lining up to host it, but one thing Randy Ambrosi said a while back about that, remember that This Is Our League campaign that they did, and it was under the Cohan era, I believe. And we all thought it was awesome, right? The videos of Normie Kwong and Angie Mosca, all the way up to the current guys. And then Randy Ambrosi said, well, it wasn't very inclusive. This is our league. It's not saying that it's everybody's league. I'm like, oh my God. Can you can pick apart anything if you want, but maybe they're not continuing Mark's CFL week because it was an Orange thing.
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there. I don't know if that's true.
One never knows, but we saw it here the first year, and people really enjoyed it and really got into it.
It was great in Winnipeg too.
And so why not persist with it? I don't see a downside to going with it. It just, there were so many benefits, and then people got to interact with the players. It was really a hit at a time when nobody's really talking about the CFL because it was a down period. And suddenly you get the better part of a week of hype leading up to the combine. And it just, to me, it seemed like a natural. And I guess there are brighter minds than mine that would disagree.
It's gone the way of the dodo. RV, thanks for coming in. We have a gift certificate for you from the Tap to enjoy. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Rod. Thanks, Darren. Have a great day.
We're not leaving. Darren joins me for overtime next. Don't go anywhere, everybody. Final segment coming up. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We have a massive inventory of all make, all models pre-owned inventory, and you gotta see it to believe it. Trade up on this pre-owned 2018 Volkswagen Golf all-wheel drive for only $19,999 plus tax. Or get into this loaded pre-owned 2018 Ford Explorer all-wheel drive for only $32,999 plus tax. It's time to trade and upgrade at Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause. Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Overtime segment brought to you by Emerald Water. I don't know. I just got to say this show's been a heck of a lot of fun. I know there's a lot of people saying, where'd the time go? Well, it is overtime for Emerald Water. And before I get to sports on tap tonight and talk about what we learned today, Pete Baruch, still watching in Manchester, England, writes in and says, since Zach Caleros has signed with the Bombers, is there compensation for the Riders? So we were kicking that around in the break before RV left, and you chime in here, Darren, at any time. But as I know it, with Zach signing with Winnipeg, re-signing, a first-round pick of the Bombers is going to Toronto. That was the condition of that trade. But as far as the Riders and Argos are concerned, I believe it's over. I believe it's over. Is that the way you've read it?
It has to be. Has to be over. I mean, you can't... I mean, you can make, I guess you can make deals however you want, but you know, once he's done with the Argos, that deal's done. The deals with the Argos and the Argos only, I don't think that has anything to do with Saskatchewan now. I mean, imagine that deal. Wait. So if I sign him, I got to give who a pick? Not you, not them, but there where he started, you know, six trades and 3 months ago? No, not happening. I don't think the Riders, that's how I understand it. I can't imagine a scenario in which the Riders would still be able to pick.
That's the way we've read it. If yeah. we're wrong, please let us know. Because you know what? We're not general managers. People have to understand. It's not our job. And this is the way that we've read it.
And we're not privy to all the paperwork in the trades.
No, it's
either.
Become so complicated.
Yeah.
Can you put the comment up from Sean Dahl regarding This Is Our League, that campaign? Because it's got everybody talking here. Wayne in Victoria says, I think This Is Our League is a great promo for the CFL. Rick Haglund says, how about This Is Your League? Include yourself if you're interested. Sean in Saskatoon says, I watched that This Is Our League video every single Grey Cup. It gives me chills. It feels so patriotic and is inclusive. It names off all the players, and in Canada, we come from all different ways of life. It shows that Canada is diverse and inclusive. And I don't know what SJW means in his thing here. I don't know. That I just remember standing beside
Social
Randy.
Social Justice Warriors.
Social Justice Warriors. Okay.
Took me a second.
I was at Touchdown Atlantic, standing beside Randy Ambrosi. I think that's where he said it, in the scrum. And I am huge on Team Ambrosi, but I would hope there's a little room for contrary thought, just to not totally go along with the establishment. Somewhere Randy Ambrosi said, and I think it was there, that that campaign was not inclusive. And I'm just, who says it's not? Because I'm with Sean. It seemed very inclusive. Not inclusive to whom? New Canadians? You got a Chinese guy there in Normie Kwong. You got Angelo Mosca in Italian. What are we talking about here? And how far do we need to go down that road of inclusion?
I know. It's a slippery slope.
Yes, it is.
It is. To me, it just comes back to the 2.0, the globalization of the league, and maybe saying it's our league and it's Canada's league means it's not Italy's league or Germany's league or Mexico's league or Japan's league. But that's, I mean, you can make that argument out of everything. saying that we're inclusive and we represent all these different people and all these different cultures. It's our league, and we, you know, welcome all these people. To me, that says you're for everybody. But I mean, we worry so much about black and white and what the words are, and yeah, the words are important, but it's more about what it means, what you feel, and the result that it, you know, brings about. And for me, if you feel good about it, makes you feel good about the league, makes you feel good about the product, and makes you want to buy tickets, it's accomplished what it's set out to accomplish.
Well, if you go way back, way, way back in the archives of this show, the very first week of it, I said, this show will be the best thing going for the CFL. And Calvin McCarty said it best yesterday. Thank you, Rod, for giving the players a platform to come on and express themselves. Because what's going to market this league? You're not going to get to know what Connor McDavid's like away from the rink. Sorry, folks, you're not. You think you're going to get an interview with Connor McDavid with his iPhone turned up and he's at his sitting on his couch? You're not getting that. And you're not getting it with Patrick Mahomes. You're not getting it with Josh Donaldson. But you'll get it with CFL players and Daron Carter on the patio. I mean, what are we learning here? We're still learning, and Clark and Jordan and Ryan and Paul and all the people involved in this, we're still learning how this show is unfolding and the way it's going to go. I did not think that we would have CFL players jumping all over themselves and DMing us to get on this show. I did not expect that. A lot of these guys I've never met. I've never met Calvin McCarty before. So this kind of gone a way that we didn't expect. But what are people saying now? We're learning so much about the players that we never knew.
Yeah.
And that's why I say this will be the best thing the CFL's got going for it. Because if you feel connected, if you feel like you know these guys, you're really going to want to watch them on Sunday. Aren't you?
So true.
Just not a two-dimensional figure on a television screen that when the TV shuts off, you don't think about them anymore. That's what I like about where this show's going.
Yeah.
And as far as the inclusive nature, I don't know. I don't know. I think inclusive is up to the individual. Do you want to be part of something or do you not want to be part about something? If you want to be part of the CFL, go buy a ticket. It's not up to some video that you're going to put on YouTube. Yes, yeah. No, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it all plays a part in it. If the video makes you feel good and it makes you like the league that much more, it's just like this show. You give people a reason to cheer. Give people a reason to come to the games and say, look, I want to, you know, I'm watching whoever, Naaman Roosevelt, or I'm watching, you know, Adam Big Hill, or I'm watching certain guys because I saw something that I liked. You know, the whole thing about Adam Big Hill and the cleft lip and the comments on social media and his anger and then the apology and stuff, people are tuning in. They've created a connection with Adam Big Hill. There's a connection there between the fans and Adam Big Hill, with football fans and with non-football fans who are going to sit up and be like, man, I like that Adam Big Hill. I want him to succeed. I'm watching him.
And they might not even be Bomber fans, but they're going to be watching Winnipeg play.
Exactly.
And, exactly. Because it was outside the game. Nelson.
Human.
I like, you write in, Nelson says, the competition is already playing catch up as is. Continue that, please. Type in again. What do you mean by that? Chris Cooper watching in Southern Ontario, he says, love the show. Keep up the good work. Well, I appreciate you, Chris, for chiming in with the comments that you do. But Nelson, let us know, what do you mean the competition's already playing catch up as is? I'd love to know what you see. And while he does that, sports on tap tonight for the Tap Liquor Store, Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. In the Dub, the Blades are home to the Victoria Royals. Are you going up for that? You are.
I am.
When are you leaving?
I'm going to leave earlier this afternoon.
Do you want some Wendell Clark's gift certificates?
Ooh, I love me some Wendell's.
So do I. It's my guilty pleasure. Here, lunch on me at Wendell's.
Thank you.
Or supper or whatever. The Brandon Wheat Kings are at Edmonton tonight. The Swift Current Broncos are at Medicine Hat. And Tri-City is at Seattle. In the SJ, Kindersley visits the Humboldt Broncos. Weyburn's at Melfort. Estevan is at Nipawin. National Hockey League, just two. Ottawa's at Buffalo. And the game I'll be watching, St. Louis Blues at Calgary Flames. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Rod.
Don't worry, we're just doing a show over here.
No worries.
Come on in.
Good times.
In the NBA, Atlanta is at Toronto tonight. Raps are on quite a roll. And this is how, remember last week we said, what's the vibe of Western Canada with the Raptors? Well, I hadn't been including the Raptors in my sports on tap, and people were tweeting me and texting the text line going, we don't forget about the Raptors. They're starting to pick up again.
Yeah, they are.
Which is cool, which is good. Tyler says, nail on the head, Rod. If you want to buy a part of the league, if you want to be a part of the league, go buy a ticket. From Tyler. Nelson says, CKRM just announced a Sunday sports cage with Ballsy that will be local. Well, if that's them playing catch up, that's them playing catch up. We don't worry about everybody else. What do we talk about in our meetings?
Tunnel vision.
Why do horse races wear blinders? Don't worry about what's out here. We're going that way.
Yeah.
Fast.
Yeah.
No, we're more like Doc in Back to the Future. I'm Doc. He's Michael J. Fox.
I had the vest on the other day and the comment came
yeah.
in.
Can yeah. you get that before we go off the air? Doc and Michael J. Fox in the DeLorean? Roads? Where we're going, there are no roads. That's sports on tap. For the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store, spend $100 in the Tap Liquor Store and you will get a $20 gift card to use in the brewhouse. Stop by to see them today. Okay, anything else?
No. Been a good show.
Who won? Who was? Oh, the guys from the Pats podcast.
Yes.
Are you contacting them, Clark? You're on it? Okay. So we'll see you. Don't forget, we will be giving away tables all week long. Tables of four that will include a Vern's Pizza for our Super Bowl party on Sunday. Our first ever Rod Peterson Show Ballers Super Bowl party this Sunday. We'll see you there. Tomorrow, the Duke, Derek Myers. Avon Coburn, a regular viewer of this show. Grey Cup champion, former Ryder coach.
AC.
Donnie Hewitt, the ageless Don Hewitt. Rich Sutter, 13-year NHL veteran. Our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, and the great Winston Chapman. He's a savant. He's a protege of football. And I'll leave you with this from Rick Haglund. Leaders will have followers. Thank you, Rick. Sounds like a meme to me. We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central, right here on Put 'Em Up, Ball, Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.